Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Grinspoon are an Australian rock band formed in 1995. The band consists of Phil Jameson on vocals and guitar, Pat Davin on guitar, Joe Hansen on bass guitar, and Christian Hopes on drums. Also in 1995, Grinspoon won the Triple J-sponsored Unearthed competition for Lismore with their post-grunge song Sickfest. The Grinspoon sound changed to more mainstream rock at the release of their 2002 album New Detention, gaining fans and peaking at number 2 on the ARIA album charts. Similarly, 2007's Alibis and Other Lies also reached number 2. The 2004 album Thrills, Kills and Sunday Pills, which peaked at number 4, won the 2005 Best Rock Album Award at the ARIA Music Awards. With 13 ARIA Award nominations, over 500,000 records sold, and an untouchable live reputation, their impact on contemporary Australian rock is undeniable. Grinspoon's influence continues to shape the Australian rock scene. In 2024, they released their 8th body of work called Whatever Whatever, and it reached number 3 on the ARIA album charts. And it is a testament to their lasting legacy and creative rejuvenation. Up next on Celebs Fund, we've got Chris Hopes from Grinspoon. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am in Brisbane today, and I've just been practicing getting ready for our 40,000 date tour. I think this is 50 shows or something. Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
Just doing a little bit of drum practice.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing about more of the tour shortly. But where does the name Grinspoon come from? What is its origin?
Comes from a guy called Dr. Grinspoon. He was a professor at UCLA, and he wrote a book called Marijuana Reconsidered. And it was a study that the US government paid him to do. And they wanted a certain outcome, and he delivered the real outcome. So, yeah, therefore we liked what he was up to. And yeah, Pat, our guitarist, picked that one.
Now let's focus on you specifically. Chris, at what age, whether it was a child or a teenager, did you think, cool, you want to be in this space, this musical creation world? How did that journey progress? How did you meet the rest of the guys of the band? So the journey of yours specifically and then the band's.
Okay, my journey started, drums were in my family. So I was in nappies playing drums, and my dad's a drummer, my son's a drummer. Yeah, drums is everything for us. So, yeah, it's always been a part of my life. I really didn't start playing drums properly until I was about 16, and decided that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. So after that, met up with the singer. We formed a band and had a couple of guys in it, moved up to Lismore, where my dad was teaching the music course at the university up there. Pat and Joe, the guitar and bass player, they were going to the uni at the time and playing in a band with my dad. The other two guys from mine and Phil's band left, and my dad suggested that we take Pat and Joe, and we haven't looked back since.
You guys formed the band. Did you think that at that stage that you'd still be going on all these years later?
Absolutely not. I mean, we didn't think about it at all. We were just doing what we do. We were playing for beer money. We were selling T-shirts to buy beers and traveling Australia. And we were having a ball. And there was no business orientation or anything like that. Yeah, we just weren't thinking about it. And, you know, we're 30 years in a few months or something. So, yeah, it's gone quick.
So then when you guys transitioned from performing for beer money, going around the country, and then it becoming catapulting into charts, success, awards, bigger stadiums, did you take the time or the moment to say, oh, cool, well, now we're in this phase? Or was it just, again, that process of let's just keep going?
Yeah, it's definitely, you don't get a lot of time to think about it when you're doing it. I mean, up until probably about, I don't know, about 5 years ago, we took a little break for the first time, And maybe that's the first time we've had to think about it. You know, the sort of 20 something years before that is just recording, touring, traveling, and going through that process over and over and over. I don't know. We're lucky we didn't break up. We're still here.
Yeah. Congratulations. I saw your latest album got to number three on the ARIA charts a couple of weeks
Yeah.
ago. So that's a fantastic news. So tell us more about the latest project.
Yeah, whatever, whatever. So that's our latest album. We hadn't recorded an album for 12 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just decided to basically change the way we did the recording process in the song selection stage by basically saying to each, there's three main songwriters in our band, and saying to each one, bring your best three songs instead of before we've gone picked a few songs and then gone down that kind of vein, you know, for the album. Whereas with our debut album, Guide to Better Living, we just bought our best songs and that made an awesome album. And so whatever, whatever is similar in that way.
So you referenced the creative process. There, you said there are three main songwriters who
Yeah, so
created the
that's
song.
Phil, the singer, Pat, and Joe, bass and guitar player. And you know, I bring a little bit every now and again, but you know, they bring most of the riffs and melodies. We bring them into rehearsal and we nut them out and demo them and then think they're really shit and demo them again. Okay. And that goes on, and then throw them out and bring them back. And you know, there's never one right way to do it, but somehow we've ended up with this pile of songs and we think it's pretty fucking good.
Why is it that the process of you think you bring it, you think it's crap, then you take it away, then bring it? Why is that process there?
I think, well, it's only for the goodness of the record, you know.
Okay.
You want to make the record as good as possible,
Yes.
and but I mean, also you want to please the other band members. Everyone wants to have fun when they're playing these tunes, especially if it's going to be a single and you've got to play it for the rest of your life. You want everyone to be happy, you know, and that's not always the case. Not always the case, but yeah, you. To keep us all happy, you know, we've been in a band together for 30 years. That all helps too.
Are there any songs without actually naming them that you guys have released before that you guys would think, oh, we have to play this again? Or are all your repertoire happiness and joy when playing them?
No, you could never say that. Of course, there's songs. Of course,
Yeah.
but you don't want me to name them, right?
No, well, I mean, I don't want them because the fans might think, oh, that's my favorite song. So let's not think
Yeah,
that.
let's not name them. And then the other writers might get cranky at me or something. No, there's definitely songs that are overplayed, you know, in our set that occasionally will drop for a while. But look, the majority of songs that we write, we like. So, you know, yeah, but it's not all perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for the listeners who are unaware, who are just fans sort of on the outside, what does it mean to be a drummer in the band normally and in the process of performing live?
Well, I've got to bring the energy, really,
Okay.
and it's, you know, it's the basic, you know, if you don't have a good drummer in your band's usually shit, no matter how good you are.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, I bring enough to this band to make us okay. For good or for bad, we're still here anyway.
Well, that's exactly. So so there's the answer to the question. Brilliant. What do you enjoy about performing live?
The energy, the adrenaline that you get from it. The feedback from the audience, especially for this tour, we're playing songs for the first time to people and seeing their reaction and feeling the energy that you get back playing new songs is pretty cool thing. And you only get to experience that on one or two tours when you're banging out all the fresh tunes. So yeah, that's pretty exciting times, and that gives you extra adrenaline, you know, makes you feel good. You can't get that from cocaine.
Okay. So the thing is that I'm normally that dude that's right in front, who's jamming, who's dancing, doing my thing. I'll take my cell phone out for one or two songs, one or two pictures, and I put it away. But I notice a lot of people these days are tweeting, posting, videoing for a lot of the time, especially near the front. For the observer on the stage who sees a bunch of phones, does that take away from that feedback you referenced to, or is it just where society is at the moment?
I think it does a little, but I think you're right. It's just what happens now. It's just the norm that you see this, and that's what it is. But I went to a gig with one of my kids. He wanted to see a band. We're in Japan, and we went to see this band, and I stood there filming it for him, and I didn't get to experience it. And so watching it back later that night was awesome. But I was like, I wish I didn't film it. I wish I just watched it. So, yeah, I get both sides, both sides of the coin for that. Yeah, it is what it is. We can't do anything about it. So, I mean, we've seen some big artists go, everyone put your phones away, blah, 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 whatever. Let people do what they're going to do. They paid the price for the ticket. They can do what they like.
Okay, so I love me a CD. I still budget my CDs every month. For me, I love the aesthetic of holding on to something. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the booklet, listening to a song from one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware, I'm not sure if you're aware that physicals are a massive comeback. Last year in the UK alone, 5.9 million vinyl sales, the biggest since 1990. This year, a new vinyl factory in the Asia somewhere reopened after being closed for 50 years. We've also got
Great.
CDs. In the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge for tax purposes. And in the vinyl's always been in that product basket. But now because of the upsurge of CDs again, they've repositioned it in as part of their product package. And it's research showing that it's all the younger people, the teenagers that are actually buying it, not the older nostalgic people. But we've also got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. Your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I've got teenage kids that are into music and play music. They buy CDs. So I
Yes.
like that. I think that's
Yes.
good.
Yeah.
All the nostalgia kind of crew from the 90s, they buy our vinyl, which is great too, because I'm stoked to just have our records on vinyl, which is amazing. They've done our
Yeah.
whole back catalog. I don't even care about the fans. I just want that for me. So
Yes.
that's good. Yeah, I think it's good. Like when streaming first was hitting the road and the downloading had kind of ended and CDs were on the way out, obviously. It was a bit bleak, but now it seems to turn the corner a bit. CDs are back, a thing for kids, and the vinyl's doing really well, and there's still the streaming and all that, and you just got to kind of roll with it. But from our band's perspective, we've been through it all in, well, not all, but in the last 30 years has been several changes,
Yeah.
and we've experienced a lot of, having moving goalposts and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it's been an interesting ride, but I think at the moment it has turned a bit of a corner and it's a bit more nice.
Going back to performing live, I go to one show or a couple of shows, so does the fans. But what is the process of you saying, cool, we're going to start prepping, rehearsing pre to that? Is it a period of 3 to 6 weeks, 3 months? What is that pre planning for a tour?
3 hours? No. No, it is. I do a bit of drum practice by myself. Everyone does a bit of their own practice in their studios at home. We get together. We're going to Byron Bay, and we're going to a studio out there, and we'll be there for 4 or 5 days. I think the last couple of days we're doing some recording, and then the majority of the crew turn up, and we do some kind of live stuff, make sure all the in-ears are working and all the bits of tech garbage that we need to do our thing. So once all that's done and all that, we're good to go. So yeah, 4 or 5 days we're up and
Oh,
running.
okay. And how long is it going into the end of the year, New Year, or is it just a couple of months?
Just 3 months, but it's
3 months.
pretty solid. We're away for most of it. So I
Okay.
think we're home for a day or two here and there. But for Australia, that's a solid tour. That happens quite a bit in the States, but you're on buses and that kind of thing. But for here, that's fairly solid touring.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 50 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time simply because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
God, what would they be? Let me give you like five artists
That's
instead.
perfect. That's perfect.
I'd be definitely pushing play on Kanye. I'd be definitely pushing play on some Sting for old people's music. I like Jay-Z. I listen to lots of Jay-Z. Rock kind of stuff would be Alice in Chains. That's kind of our era, and probably like a Rage Against the Machine. All those groups to me signify how I feel about listening to music, and I've taken things from each of those to incorporate into my style of drumming and that kind of thing.
So I know this is a bit of sort of a question that you're on this path and we recognize and we understand it. But if your dad was not a drummer and was not necessarily in the music world, do you think that that allowed you more to be conscious to say, I want to be doing this? Because if he was in a different role or different field, maybe that would have not have influenced you as much?
Yeah, well, and just regarding that, he's gone out of music now, and he makes documentaries, which is pretty, he just pivoted. Maybe I would have started earlier, I think, because I had it around me so early. When I started, to get to 10, 11, 12, I kind of wanted to rebel against that and have a normal job, like go to an office or something, put a tie on. And I did that when I was about 15 and went, fuck that. No way. It was just illusion.
An illusion. You've got the latest album that just came out. You've got the tour. Are you guys, and you also referenced earlier that there was a 12-year break in between this album and the previous one. What's a break going to be towards the next album? Do you think it's going to be shorter, or you guys haven't even thought about it yet?
Haven't even thought about it yet, but I would say more than likely it would be shorter. I think the process that we had this time round was pretty enjoyable, and I think it was, we know how to do it better these days, and everyone's a bit surer of what they want, and I just think, if we're going to do another album, it would be sooner rather than later.
Chris, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message, what would you like to say?
Come and listen to go on our Spotify and listen to our new tunes. Or if you're in Australia, come and see our show.
Or,
Thank
guys, as
you.
Chris says, not only listen on Spotify, buy the CDs, buy the vinyls,
Oh,
and go see the show.
yeah. YouTube, everything.
Everything, everything.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.